So I once had a Shabbos meal, and we were doing it outside in the Rova Square, and it was mostly people who were not religious, who had not been exposed to Judaism. So everyone wants to share Dvar Torah. I'd always let people share Dvar Torah. So who gets up there? The one frum guy. And it's Parshas Mishpatim. And there's a lot of mitzvahs to choose from, a lot of feel-good ones, right? You could talk about Shabbos Aveda, you know, returning nice things, you know, not, I don't know, there's all sorts of things. Justice. What does he choose to talk about, of course? Evedivri. Slavery, let's talk about slavery. And he went on and on and on and talked about how Judaism really believes in slavery. And it was really ironic and funny and embarrassing at the same time. But I want to talk about slavery a little bit. Okay, so why does the Torah start off its first law in Sefer Mishpatim? We're still at Har Sinai, we're receiving the Torah, and we start off talking about slavery. So what's the first idea that comes to your head? Why? Yeah?
They just left the treasure.
Kavod, excellent. What's your name?
Jared.
So Jared's saying it makes sense. They just left Egypt, and therefore that's the first thing in their head. And the Torah is saying, as opposed to Egypt, which enslaved us, Judaism doesn't really believe in slavery. We believe in 6 years, perhaps, as a rehabilitation, but the seventh year, the Shabbos, you're free. At our essence, at our core, we're free. So it makes a lot of sense that the Torah would start off with this concept of Eved Ivri. And in fact, Jonathan Sacks postulates that the whole reason we were put into Egypt in the first place was really to do what? To sensitize the Jewish people to never bring slavery, to choose freedom. Liotam Chofshi, right? Freedom! Like Braveheart, right? Judaism believes in Braveheart. That mamish freedom is our highest value, and in order to inculcate that value into ourselves, we had to go through this slavery. And only then could we truly internalize this idea that we really have to preach freedom. Okay? That's like the highest value of Judaism. Very nice. Okay. And that's also the story of Yosef. In fact, what was the story of Yosef? The Jewish people, when the brothers enslaved their brother. And so only when did they go free? When did does Yehuda rebel, redeem himself? When he chooses to be a slave in order to free up his brother. Great. So the Torah believes in freedom. The next pasuk says, "Im begapoya." I'm sorry. Kidding Neved of Ivri, okay? Im Adonav yiten lo ish. Hold on. I'm sorry. Let's say the guy wants to stay as a slave. Vigisha Adonav Elohim, Vigisha Ladelot Olam Zuzah, Vratza Adonav Etazno, Bemartzea Babadav Leolam. So you take, if the slave chooses to be a slave, you take his ear and you give him this, like, earring, really painful earring by the mezuzah. And of course, we're all familiar with the Rashi that says, why are we doing this whole ceremony to this Eved Ivri who wants to remain a slave? Because really, the Torah doesn't want him to be an Eved Ivri. Really, the Torah wants you to choose freedom, but it doesn't want to asser it. And so, instead, it kind of says, fine, you can do it, but only, you know, I'm going to punish you to a certain extent. How could you choose to not be free? How could you choose slavery to a person and not freedom and not being enslaved to a Kaddish Baruch? Good. But there's an obvious question. And the question is like this. If the Torah really doesn't believe in slavery, then what would be the easiest way to get rid of slavery? Forbid it. Aser. Say it's halacha. It's aser. There's a lot of things the Torah doesn't like, and then it just says, okay, it's aser. So if the Torah really doesn't believe in this, so why doesn't it just say outright, slavery is bad, it's our highest value, we have to believe in freedom, it's awesome. Okay, so that's the question. Yeah, what do you guys think?
Your attention?
Yeah.
Because it was not an economically viable solution at the time. Jews wouldn't have accepted the Torah, would have been...
Okay, so that's, I'd say, the practical solution, that back then, in that economy, it wasn't possible, really, for it to survive, not based on a slave-based economy. Okay, perhaps, yeah.
Wouldn't it just be really ironic if the whole thing was you have to choose freedom, and yet the only thing that you can't choose, like, for yourself? I mean, for an Eved Ivri, we said, do you want to choose to be a slave? And they're like, no, you can't, because you have to choose freedom, but that in itself is not
freedom. I know, we're taking away his freedom in a sense by not allowing him to be a slave. Fascinating. I like that. Yeah, we're going to go in that direction. So the answer Rav Jonathan Sacks gives, which I think is it's first of all theologically powerful, because you can apply this to many other Torah concepts, and also practically very, very powerful, psychologically powerful. It's like this. The Torah doesn't want to tell us what to do. It wants to nudge us so that we can choose. We can freely choose the right thing. If the Torah would have forbade us outright in that time period to be slaves, we would have had no choice. We couldn't have had slavery. But we would have been forced into it. It never would have been chosen. And what happens when you're forced into doing something that you really don't want to do very often?
You lose the moral sensitivity.
You lose the moral sensitivity and you become angry and like, oh, fine, I'll do it, but you don't really want to do it. It's like, what happens when your parents tell you that you have to, you know, you're from Boston, right? You have to, whatever, but either way, you'll know this. But that you have to dig the snow.
Take shovel snow.
Anyone from the Northeast has shovel snow. What happens when your mom tells you you have to shovel snow?
Oh, come on, really?
Right? But then what happens?
Later.
Then what happens when you're nice? When you choose freely to shovel the snow for your neighbor who needs a little help, you love it because you chose it. It wasn't forced, right? What happens when you're forced to go to class every day in high school? You're forced to go to class. What happens when you choose to learn Gemara on your own because you actually want to make a project, want to finish a Masechet?
It feels more...
It feels gishmak. You enjoy it, right? What happens when you're forced to go to Shir? What happens when you decide to go to Friday Minyan because you want to daven, you want to go to an extra, you have a little extra Torah?
You get bread?
Right? So this is a concept that very often the Torah doesn't tell us you have to do this. It nudges us, it pushes us, it tells you, listen, I really don't want you to become a slave. And if you do become a slave, you're going to have to go through this annoying process. But at the end of the day, it's your choice to ultimately educate us so that we will evolve into the type of people that will never want to become slaves. And you can apply this to many concepts in Judaism. Hashitifa Torah is a similar concept, right? Torah should just forbid it. It lets us choose to be moral. Perhaps vegetarianism. I'm not going to go there right now. We've talked about that in the past. But there are those who believe that the ideal would be to not eat meat, but the Torah wants us to choose that on our own. That's a controversial topic. And there are many other Torah concepts that you can examine now and kind of think. And maybe the Torah wants to us to choose to get there. And just, you know, not force us to get there. Yeah.
So where do we draw the line, though? Because it would make sense to say, don't murder, not because like God's commanded you to not murder, but don't murder because it's an awful thing to do. So why do you differentiate between slavery? Or why does the Torah differentiate between slavery and
right.
slavery?
Great, great question. Or I could say, put it differently. I could say, maybe, why did the Torah tell us you have to keep Shabbos?
Right.
Maybe tell us it's nice to keep Shabbos, and if you don't keep Shabbos, you know. But like for certain things, the Torah tells us what to do. And other things, it tells us, you know, kind of guides us towards getting there. And I think an open question. I don't exactly know the answer. Why God? And sometimes does like this, sometimes does like that. And I think we have to use our seichel and shukul adat, like, you know.
But it could be that like the consequence of not doing it isn't as bad as the consequence of like, if the consequence of murdering is awful, but the consequence of having a slave, it seems the Torah doesn't think is the ultimate.
Right, it doesn't think it's the ultimate evil, especially if it's the Torah's view of slavery, which is far, far less bad than other...
It's an issue about Torah.
Right, nachon. You could apply that to many others. So, yeah.
What about, in regards to vegetarianism, what about the Korban Pesach, for example, you shouldn't eat the Korban?
Nachon. Okay, so that's a whole different issue. I would love to talk to you about it, but I don't want to get into that. So, nachon, it could be that they're even... That's a good kashya on it. Could be not. Could be their mitzvos. Could be that when Mashiach comes, the korbanot will be a little different. Could be not. It's a great discussion, but I don't want to repeat. Okay, kevav. But anyways, let's apply it to our own lives. Okay. So practically, what am I suggesting? I'm suggesting the following. You guys are going to be educators. You have no choice. You're going to be a mommy. No, not mommy. You're going to be most of you probably end up not being moms. I don't want to discriminate. I don't
want
to discriminate.
If you really want, you
know. Fine, right? You live in a free world. You'll be tatis. You'll be camp counselors. Hopefully some of you will be your rebbeim. You'll be educators. So what am I suggesting? As much as possible, don't force people to do stuff. As much as possible. There's always the exceptions to the rule. But whenever possible, try to nudge people. Try to create an environment that will encourage people to do the right thing, to do what we want them to do, but have them at least have the illusion of choice, right? Because when people choose things on their own, they're much more connected to that. But in order to do that, we need to create the right environment. So for example, I don't know, if you're in a, you want to get your children to live healthfully, so you won't put on the top cupboard in your house all the junk food. You put on the top cupboard all the fruits and vegetables. In the back, you could hide some gummy worms or whatever, right? If you need to. So, or for example, if you want yourselves to live a Torah life, to be involved, that should be the framework of your lives. So nudge yourself. How do you nudge yourself? You get a chavrusa and you force yourself to have a chavrusa. You go to a base medrash. When you're in that environment, you're going to naturally want to learn Torah with your free time. If you get home and the first thing you do when you get home is you put on, you go into a room with full of TVs and computers, or you don't put yourself in an environment which is conducive, then we will naturally tend towards our desires, which are not always what our neshama wants to do. Because we are emotional beings. We are not purely logical and rational. We do what is easy, and we are lazy and what is fun very often. And so it's very important to create the right environment to nudge ourselves to do the right things. That's a psychological principle, and you can apply it to many, many aspects of your lives. Okay, one last idea. For this one, I'm not going to go into it for lack of time, but I'll leave it for you guys to explore. So Rabbi Foreman suggests that many, many, many of the psukim in this week's parsha, many of the laws in this week's parsha, actually bring us back and are highlighted and are colored by stories in Bereishis and stories in the Torah. Okay, if you look at the laws and nitty-gritty details while you analyze the wording, you will see they're reflected in stories of Bereishis, and they will make the laws come alive. And I've actually been doing this with my chavrushas throughout the week. You can find many examples. I'll give you one example to, you know, whet your appetite, and then your homework will be to find the rest on your own. Okay, so it's
good
set.
Nudge. What? Good nudge.
Good nudge, exactly. So here's a good one. It says, the Torah is talking about murder. It says if you murder a person, mot yumat, he'll be killed, much more than a nudge. Vasher lo tzada, but if a person did not desire, he didn't plan it, and God caused it to happen, and I will give him a place to run away from. You know, if it wasn't purposeful, then you get your hamiklat. You have a place to run away. But when a person purposely meant to do it, through mirma, but if he purposely wanted to kill someone, then the Torah says you get death. Okay? What story in the Torah have we heard this language of Yazid, of Arma, of what story in Bereishis does this remind us of? Yeah? That was my first thought. Cain and Hevel, murder versus running away to an Ir Miklat. Nachon, that was what I would suggest. Rabbi Foreman is a different suggestion. Yeah? Nizid Adashim, right? That's Esav when he planned on murdering his brother. Okay? And then Mirma reminds me of what Yaakov did to his brother. Okay? And it also comes sandwiched in between Make Aviv Imo, hitting your father and mother, thinking about the Kibud Av aspects of the whole Esav story. So if you want to see a whole in-depth explanation of this, check out alephbeta.org. Rabbi Foreman has a brilliant theory as to how he puts together how this law reflects that story. But this is just one example of how the wording of the Torah smacks of the Esav story. Okay, you have other stories smacking of the Yosef story, and so on and so forth. But Bezrat Hashem, your homework over Shabbos is when you're reading the parsha at the Shabbos table or Kriyas HaTorah, try to find these hidden allusions to other stories, and it will much enrich your parsha experience. All have an amazing Shabbos.